I'm back today. Others still missing, recovering, and we're good to see you all today. I'll get you to lunch today. You don't have a very far to walk, so. Yeah, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about the end times and the rapture and the coming of the Lord and, you know, how knowledge and AI might fit into all of that in the final days. How many predict the rapture is actually going to be September 23rd of this year? And again, nobody knows. You know, it matches up. You can use figures in the Bible. You can use dates, astronomy, and you know, the feasts, and determine that it could be. I'm not saying it won't. I'm not saying it will. But someday he's coming. We don't know the date, but. And we need to talk about it, but not in fear, but to be ready and excited about it. That's what we've been talking about. And, you know, it comes to be, you know, if you knew the time, would your life be different? How would you be acting today or tomorrow or the next day? If you knew when the date was, how would your life change? Or would you just carry on as normal? What would your life look like? You know, probably depends on what life you lead. You know, God doesn't want us to know things because of the chaos that would arrive. If we knew the end date, even our death, if we knew the end date, the things that we would do beforehand. And so, you know, a lady once asked John Wesley that suppose he were to know that he would die at 12 o'clock midnight tomorrow, how would he spend the intervening time? And his reply was, "Why, madam, just as I intended to spend it now." He said, "I would preach this evening at Gloucester and again at 5 in the morning. After that, I would ride to Tewksbury, preach in the afternoon, meet with the societies in the evening. I would then go to Reverend Martin's house, who expects to entertain me, talk and pray with the family as usual, retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down and rest, and wake up in glory." Now, John Wesley didn't have to change his plans. He was already doing things God wanted him to do. He was already living a life for God. He was already committed to doing kingdom work, living his life for Christ. You know, if we're living our life expecting his return, what does it look like? You know, are we taking steps to get ready? You know, you get ready for a party. You get ready for this afternoon. You get ready for parties by preparing food and maybe entertainment and things, and look forward to that because you want everything just right so everybody enjoys yourself, everything goes well. Maybe you plan to go to a ball game together. So you get together, you get your tickets and your snacks and put on your favorite shirt. Maybe take your hat with you, you know, your bear shirt, your bear hat. Put those on, meet together, make travel plans, get excited about the game, ready to go, can't wait to get there, can't wait to see it. You know, weddings, talk about planning, like, whoa, takes months to get a dress and all the menswear, the tuxes and stuff, and invitations and flowers and food and cake and for the best man and maid of honor and the location, and you know, it takes a real commitment to get all of that together just right. And the excitement builds as the day comes closer. Looking forward to that day. It's all pointing to that day. We're preparing all for that day. So other things might just take a back seat to what needs to be done before the wedding date. Because we're committed to the wedding date sometimes before all else. You know, it comes first. You know, before Jesus returns, you know, he also asks us for a commitment. He wants us to have salvation through him, but also commitment to serve him. And that's what he calls us to do. And to be there for him, a commitment to him. And scripture tells us how important that is and what it takes to put God first in your life. Only got a couple scriptures today. The first one being in Luke chapter 9. They're both in Luke, starting out in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Jesus was walking with some of the disciples and some people, and they said, says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied again, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? But we see Jesus talking to three different people. And all of them are either stating they want to follow them or he called them to follow them. And you know, we don't really see their responses. You know, we see the response of the Lord to them, to their question that I want to follow you or, you know, follow me. But we don't see their final response. And I think it's on purpose. I think he wants us to think about what those responses were for those people. You know, the first one volunteered. Said, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, Jesus' answer probably caused him to pause and think about it a little bit. You know, he says, I don't even have, Jesus' response, I don't even have a place to lie my head down. You know, Jesus wants us to count the cost of following him. There is a cost. He wants us to count the cost. He wants to give us an abundant life. But no, there's going to be struggles and hard times. You know, following Jesus doesn't make this life easy, but it helps to navigate through it a whole lot better. Still going to be tough times. And are you going to be willing to trust him through the hard times? And give up your life for him? Because that's what you're going to do. You got to give up yourself for him. You know, look at his disciples and what they gave up, what it cost them. The same thing could happen today. It does happen today. You know, it can cost you your home, your family, your job, yourself. And it's happening. Maybe not so much here, but it's happening throughout the world. People who choose him, choose to follow him, are losing family. They're losing their homes. They're losing their life. Now, we may not be called to lose all of those things, but understand it's possible, and it is happening in the world today. You know, the second one, Jesus said, follow me. And he said to first let him go home and bury his father. You know, Jesus' answer, again, seems pretty harsh. But realize most people at this time, you know, who died were buried within a few hours. You know, if he was really doing that, if his father had died and he was preparing all of this, he probably wouldn't be where he's at now. He would be with him at home. So, really, the father, chances are, is probably not dead. May not even be sick, you know, or anything at this point. You know, it may be years before that burial's needed. And maybe an inheritance is in play. You know, he wants to hang around. You know, what he's really saying is, you know, sure, I will follow, but not right now. Not right now. Maybe down the road. Wait till I'm ready. First, let me. Is a me first attitude. It doesn't work well with God's plans. God has to be first. Because you will never be where you want to be or where he wants you to be if he isn't first in your life. And then if he is, things will fall in place. You'll find that to be true. Things will fall in place. They won't be easy, as I've said. But if you make him first, the others will come. He said, the third one said, I will follow. But again, we got a but first. But first, let me. But first, me. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. You know, me first again. You know, Jesus again seems to give a harsh answer, but he answers, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, God wants us to focus on the future and his work. You know, it may cost your family who doesn't agree with you. And time with family, time with children, time with grandchildren, it'll cost you those things. You know, he may have known this one, went back to tell his family, they might have talked him completely out of following Jesus. Said, no, you don't want to do that. You know, we've got a good job for you here. We've got you set up. You got a place to stay. They could have talked him completely out of following Jesus. Has to be his choice. You know, if you're plowing and looking back, you know, with GPS, it probably don't matter. But if you're plowing and looking back, you're probably going to end up with a crooked, inconsistent ministry with lots of distractions in there. Because you're not looking forward. And we all have a ministry. You know, our life is a ministry to someone. So everybody's watching you. You're a ministry to someone, whether you want to be or not. Then if you plow correctly, you have some success. Don't rest on it. Keep moving. Don't do the, I've done enough, I've done my part. That part doesn't stop. Got to keep going. These were people just like today that desired to be or were called to be followers of Jesus. People are called today. But many want to be followers on their own terms and in their own time. But other things come first. Generally me first. But let me first. You know, we say, I'll follow, but sorry, I have to do these other things first. I have to do this right now. You know, that doesn't put God first in your life. You've just put other things first in your life. I don't believe God cares for half-hearted love and half-hearted obedience. You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, wholeheartedly. You know, half doesn't get it. You know, you tease the glass is half full. It means you're missing. You're missing out. You're missing the other half. You know, you're half-hearted. You can be half-baked. If you only go halfway, you might be a half-wit. You got to go the whole way. You know, none of the things we do is bad, necessarily. None of the things we've read about here are bad. You know, God is all about family. He's all about loving one another. You know, he isn't saying don't go to funerals. You know, he isn't saying not to be there for your family and to take care of them. He just wants your priorities in line. That's how serious it is. God first. And at times that's sacrificing things with your family, with others, and within yourself. Sometimes we keep putting the big things aside, which is God, for little things. You know, we delay or we set aside important things for the immediate things that we think we got to take care of. And again, we make choices every day on what's most important to us. Again, they're not bad things. We just make them the most important. Maybe you have to make decisions, make over something that you really want to do. Then maybe there's a church function or some other spiritual thing going on or somebody needs your help. You know, some of a friend needs you. something that maybe God asked you to do. Well, which is it? Which one are you going to do? Some things are fun for sure. I enjoy ball games and all that kind of stuff. But which take priority? Is it the part that matters to God, or is it the ball game, or the TV show, or the concert, or the grass mowing, or the groceries, or anything else I want? And know that those are bad things, but which has first place in your heart? If God is at first, how far down is it? Is he second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth? Hope we don't have to go farther. Hope he at least made the top 10. Supposed to be number one. How far down is he? We are going to have an invitation as we go over the last passage, Luke 14, verses 25 to 27. Luke 14, 25 to 27. Then we'll have communion, and I guarantee you I would get you over there by 12. So. Luke 14, 25 to 27. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And they're like, wow. Who didn't know the Bible, or who maybe isn't familiar with God, would read that and think, oh, I thought he was a God of love. I thought God was all about love. That seems to contradict loving each other. No, it's just another example of how radical your life's priorities and values need to change. You are to love and respect your parents and your family, but not above God. He still has to be first. Again, if God's first, the other things will line up, because you'll have his spirit in you. You'll have his love in you. And all the other things will fall in line. Well, I'm really busy. I'm really busy. But I go to church every Sunday for a couple hours. Now, congratulations. You've now spent 1% of your time this week for God. 1%. What about that small voice that says, I know you get it. I get it. You may not recognize it right off. You may ignore it. But the one that says, hey, you need to call somebody. You need to call so-and-so. Or you need to visit so-and-so. It's giving you a person on your mind. He wants you to help. Well, I'm really busy right now. I got stuff on the stove. I'm cooking. I got cleaning to do. You know, my favorite show comes on TV in just a little bit. So I don't want to get caught up into something. It's going to take a while, because I don't want to miss that. Maybe later if I have time. Sometimes we obey. But many times it's a let me first answer, like in the passage. And then I fail on what God has appointed me to do. How I'm supposed to be living my life. Which makes me miss out on blessings from God. And hopefully God finds someone else to do what I wouldn't. Or else that other person has to suffer for my disobedience. God doesn't want us just involved. He wants us committed. Yeah, there's a cost to following Jesus. There are sacrifices. But what we gain is so much more. We gain his presence. We gain his peace. And we gain his power in our life. All the other stuff's going to go away. but he's forever. Jesus is coming, and I think it's sooner. Sooner than we think. I don't know if it's the 23rd or not, but I think it's soon. Don't let your lifetime pass and then have little or nothing to show for it eternally by not living the life he wants you to lead. If you knew the date, make sure you're living the life you would have anyways, that you don't have to change anything. Let's pray.